Do you suffer from pain, tenderness, or a clicking in your jaw? Maybe you have pain while chewing, chronic migraines, or other facial discomfort. We have the answer for you. Welcome to the TMJ and Jaw Pain Podcast with Dr. Astrid Cruz Aguirre. Dr. Guire is a maxillofacial surgeon qualified in both dentistry and medicine and is the head of the Temporomandibular Joint Center. You don't have to live in pain. Listen to today's podcast and learn more about the causes of jaw pain and your treatment options.
My name is Astrid Cruz Aguirre, and I welcome you to this new episode of our podcast. What is our topic today? Today, it is all about the various open surgical procedures for temporomandibular joint diseases. There are many people with problems in the jaw joint, but there are very few who actually have open surgery. What types of surgery are there? We roughly distinguish between an open and a closed form of surgery. Closed means that you go through a kind of keyhole, through a very small incision with a small camera and a working instrument into the joint space. We call this procedure arthroscopy. The diameter is smaller than that of a ballpoint pen. You can certainly imagine that the surgical area is very limited due to the size of the instruments. In the past, before such excellent nuclear spin or MRI images were available, this was a technique for precise diagnostics, as you can precisely assess the position of the joint disc and adhesions, and you can also loosen them with the working instrument. However, if the joint space is very narrow, for example, in cases of advanced arthrosis, you can no longer get into the joint space. In open surgery, an incision is made directly in front of the ear and the joint is open. When is open surgery performed on the joint? In the case of poor muscular tension, no surgery should be carried out. Open surgery is mostly performed on patients for whom conservative procedures such as physiotherapy, osteopathy, possibly joint rinsing, or an injection into the joint have not led to any significant improvement. However, there are also a few exceptions where surgery should be performed directly on the joint without conservative therapy. For example, in raw tumors of the temporomandibular joint, or of course, with a fracture in the temporomandibular joint area after injury. Basically, in my opinion, a magnetic resonance imaging should always be performed before a surgery. In magnetic resonance tomography, the position of the joint disc is examined with the mouth closed and with the mouth open. This joint disc is attached to ligaments, which are also examined to determine whether there is a tear in the rear suspension strap. The joint disc can also have a hole or thinning that can be visualized using the magnetic resonance method. The surgical procedure can then be planned precisely using these examination images in combination with the clinical examination. What do I do exactly in open joint surgery? Open joint surgery can be roughly divided into five procedures. First, treatment of a fracture, for example, a break in the jaw head area. Second, a surgical adjustment of the articular disc. Third, a smoothing of the jaw head in arthrosis. Fourth, creating a blockage for the temporomandibular joint when the lower jaw is completely dislocated again and again. And last but not least, the insertion of a temporomandibular joint prosthesis. You may be wondering which patients need a temporomandibular joint prosthesis. Basically, jaw joint prostheses are used very rarely. We use these in patients with tumors or very advanced forms of arthrosis, usually with a clear bite disorder or with complete bony adhesions between the jaw head and the fossa, which is called ankylosis. There are two different forms of jaw joint prostheses. a so-called stock prosthesis, which you can imagine as an off-the-shelf prosthesis, meaning that these are available in three forms: small, medium, and large. And the other form, which we definitely prefer, the patient-specific prosthesis. So what exactly is a patient-specific temporomandibular joint prosthesis? With this prosthesis, a computer tomography, that's a special X-ray examination, is carried out beforehand, and models of the upper and lower jaw are made to record the bite. All of these data is then incorporated into special planning software. The prosthesis is now precisely planned on the computer. After the final release of the data, the patient-specific custom-fit prosthesis is now made. But now back to the joint disc. How exactly can the disc be adjusted by an operation? As I said, in the vast majority of cases where the joint disc has been displaced, the disc can be brought back into the correct position using non-surgical procedures. However, if the joint disc has been displaced for a long time, if the posterior ligament that holds the joint disc has been torn off, or if the joint disc has a very strong displacement and it cannot be moved back in by any conservative method, relatively small incision can make it possible, bring the joint disc back and then sew it back. This surgery takes about 30 to 40 minutes and is performed under general anesthesia. It is clearly important to protect the joint, which means eating as soft diet as possible, but like banana consistency, and then starting physiotherapy after about 1 or 2 weeks. The healing process is usually 4 to 6 weeks, including physiotherapy. What can you do if the disc is no longer available or is very badly worn, for example, in cases of severe arthrosis? In such cases, there are various methods for replacing the joint disc with muscle tissue from the temporal area, with subcutaneous or fatty tissue from the abdomen, or with an artificial replacement. I prefer the middle method, and I want to explain this to you. With an artificial replacement, there is always an increased risk of inflammation or rejection, since the disc is exposed to considerable pressure. In the other two procedures, temporal muscle or subcutaneous tissue, fatty tissue, the body's own material is used, which then creates a kind of hub plate between the joint head and the joint socket. In any case, in my opinion, the disc should always be replaced if it is no longer available. The problem that otherwise arises is that the bone of the mandibular head rubs on the bone of the temporomandibular joint socket, and either wear and tear or arthrosis can then occur in the long run. Speaking of osteoarthritis, how can osteoarthritis be treated surgically? I have to say that most patients with osteoarthritis of the jaw manage very well with conservative measures. Arthrosis in the temporomandibular joint is also found as an incidental finding in the X-ray, and the patient has no pain. The surgical indication, I mean the reason for a surgery, is primarily pain and restricted movement despite intensive conservative forms of therapy. A poor rubbing noise without pain or restricted movement should not be a reason for a surgery. But now to the actual operation for arthrosis. Here it is also important to clarify in advance by means of a magnetic resonance examination whether the disc is still there or whether it is perhaps just in the wrong position. In the case of arthrosis of the jaw joint is exposed through a small incision in front of the ear, and then the joint surface is smoothed with fine diamond drills under water cooling. If the joint disc is displaced, it is brought back into the correct position in the same surgery and then sewn up there. The surgery time is approximately 30 to 50 minutes, depending on the extent of the arthrosis. Here, of course, physiotherapy again applies afterwards for about 1 or 2 weeks. Today, I told you a lot about the different surgical techniques. However, most ailments are due to muscular overload, which should always be treated by non-surgical methods. But there are also limits to conservative forms of therapy for complaints directly in the joint, and surgical procedures with a very narrow indication for surgery can bring about a significant improvement in the complaints and the functional limitations of the temporomandibular joint. If you have any questions or topic requests, I look forward to hearing from you. See you soon, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more information on TMJ and jaw pain, or to contact Dr. Cruz Aguirre, you can go to our website, www.tmj.clinic. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast and tell a friend. Until next time, we wish you the very best and want you to live healthy and pain-free.